Welcome to Taboo Topic. I am your host, Ken Drew, ready to provide you the first weekly review of 2022. Yay! Happy New Year to everyone, if you haven't heard me say it already. A Happy New Year. I know it's been a month since our last weekly review, so I'll provide you more than three stories this week, starting with Congresswoman Green. Twitter banned her after posting some things. Along with Joe Rogan joining the newer platform Getter, or G-E-T-T-R, as a rebuttal to Twitter's stance on free speech. Then I'll give you Antonio Brown's dramatic exit mid-game and his rap song afterwards. We'll stay in the sports world with NASCAR rejecting Let's Go Brandon's crypto sponsor from the driver himself, Brandon. Afterwards, I'll zero in on New York. As if they haven't been zeroed in enough, but I'll zero in on them again. They are prioritizing non-white people in their distribution of the vaccines. And finish off with the failure of the passage of the Build Back Better plan. It's going to be a great episode, everyone. Please stay tuned. We'll be back after this short break. Welcome back. Welcome back to Taboo Topic. I'm your host, Ken Drew. As usual, I have to ask the question of how was everyone's week, or how was everyone's month, I should say. This is more like a week or a month in review than anything else. It's been a while. So please let me know through the social media platforms I mention, through Instagram, Substack, or even Facebook, or even any of the platforms you can leave a review with for the show. But please let me know how you have been since we last had that question. Especially let me know how the holidays, what'd you do for the holidays this year? I was pretty active for the holiday season this year, I should say. I traveled a lot. I went to Georgia and spent 10 days. I left like a couple days after Christmas, but it was a nice time to see my aunt, my uncle, my cousin. All they're in good spirit, and it was great seeing them. My dog got a little sick in the trip. She had some anxiety issues, and she got sick and had a little bit of a diarrhea, had the runs on Christmas morning, so that was fun to handle, but she has since recovered, so praise God for that. And then afterwards, I came back, spent the day back in my home in Florida to get ready for a flight to Alabama, because one of my best friends got married in Alabama. I was one of the groomsmen, so I took part in the wedding. I just wasn't an observer. I actually took part in it, and it was cool to actually see behind the scenes of what goes on. It was actually a lot of fun. By the way, if you're listening to this episode right now, congratulations once again. I hope you have a wonderful marriage. I really like the bride that you married. She seems to be a good fit for you, and I wish you nothing but the utmost happiness, if you will. May God bless your marriage, and I know God's going to do great things in your marriage. With all that said, I am now back, and I know we took a little break from this week in review stuff, but let's just get into it, shall we? Because we got a lot to cover, and I want to make sure I gave you the best product out there and talk about stories that you may be interested in, that I found interesting. Let's start off with the Congresswoman, Marjorie Taylor Greene. She joins the ranks of being muzzled and deplatformed. This is the synopsis, so I'm going to do my best to make sure that I keep my bias out, but the synopsis right now is that basically Twitter, the reason why I'm talking about her is because Twitter permanently suspended her account after some tweets the elite establishment didn't like. All right, now what did she say exactly? Which I'm glad you asked, because everywhere I looked and searched, there wasn't any specific straw that broke the camel's back, such as with Donald Trump, for example. The only thing I found was Green's office confirmed that she was suspended shortly after tweeting about the vaccine adverse event reporting system, a database with figures that some conservatives have cited to claim the COVID-19 vaccine is deadly, which, by the way, I'm not a doctor. Consult with your doctor about the COVID vaccine. Just putting that out there for a disclaimer. I do not claim to be an expert, as I always make it clear to my audience, I'm not an expert by any means. But with that said, after that disclaimer, This is what Twitter stated as far as why she got suspended. It states that we permanently suspended the account you referenced at MT Green for repeated violations of our COVID-19 misinformation policy. We've been clear that per our strike system for this policy, we will permanently suspend accounts for repeated violations of the policy. Now, in case you're wondering, to give context, this isn't the first time she's run into trouble with Twitter, as she's been suspended for skepticism with the effectiveness of the COVID vaccines and the validity of the 2020 election results, etc. The elite just do not like her, all right? As she was taken off the committee, taken off committee duties in the House early last year, light was brought about her past remarks about school shootings, rhetoric about Islam, and conspiracies about 9/11, you know, whether it was fake or not. That's making her an easy target, a very easy target for the elite to silence her. I do want to say that one of her accounts, only one of her accounts was deleted. She has another Twitter account for congressional purposes, but it was her personal account with over 460,000 followers that was deleted. So only one of her two major accounts was deleted. With that said, her rebuttal states that, and she posted this on Getter or G-E-T-T-E-R. By the way, if you know how to actually pronounce it, let me know. I think I'm pronouncing it right, but then again, it's not something I go out of my way and listen to. But anyways, her rebuttal was, Twitter is an enemy to America and can't handle the truth. That's what she states. That's fine. I'll show America we don't need them, and it's time to defeat our enemies. Excuse me. Can't handle the truth. I just think about that scene in one of the in almost every movie where it's like, you can't handle the truth. which this is where my bias, a little bit of bias here. That there's some truth to what she said there. With that said, before I get into my initial thoughts about the whole thing, I have to mention Joe Rogan as well. Joining Getter, the newer Twitter alternative, he joined after his interviews with Dr. Malone and Dr. McCullough were removed on YouTube, and Dr. Malone's account in particular was also suspended as well. Mind you, all right, mind you, these two doctors are respected in the scientific community and healthcare, especially Malone, the doctor who invented the nine original mRNA vaccine patents originally filed in 1989, including both the idea of mRNA vaccines and the original proof of principle experiments in RNA transfection. Dr. Malone has close to 100 peer-reviewed publications, which have been cited over 12,000 times. Once the ban occurred, Joe Rogan joined Getter, and his first post was, just in case shit over at Twitter gets even dumber, I'm now here as well. Rejoice! Since then, the platform has gotten over 170,000 signups. 170,000 signups for the platform. Remember, this is the platform Donald Trump's circle started, and the elite called it a threat to democracy. All that said, that's the synopsis, and here are my initial thoughts. First, Congresswoman Green. Some of the old stuff she found herself in deep water for earlier last year was taken out of context, first and foremost. Now, does that mean I agreed with everything she said beforehand? Not really. In particular, the remarks about 9/11. 9/11 did happen, all right? But so did the school shootings. But she did it across as someone. I saw those videos that they were referred to, but she didn't come across when I watched it. She didn't come across as someone who's gonna hold on to that thought in a life or death situation. Was it a hill she was gonna die on? Now, I remember people made a big deal about her saying something about space Jews shooting lasers as well. Which, by the way, I read that post that they're referring to, never made any mention of Jewish space lasers or whatever it was. that was an absolute lie that even Ben Shapiro himself fell into. He didn't even bother to look up the post. Just went along with the sheep, or went along with the mob, excuse me. Say that Ben Shapiro is a sheep is in hyperbole. It's a little bit exaggerated. Every now and then he finds himself with them, but I digress. All right? It's not about him right now. All of this to say, though, is that she's not as crazy as the establishment, the elite in particular, make her out to be, at least from my perspective. All that was brought up to distract people, the conversations that they wanted to avoid, that she was bringing up, including the validity of the election results. So they, as they normally do, zeroed in on those older thoughts, and which, yes, some of what she said in the past aligned with those, you know, QAnon groups, but overall, she's just a regular Jane. She was a small business owner, which means, guess what? She understands more about the economy probably than the bureaucrats up in Washington right now. She's more grounded in that sense and in touch with the voters, especially in her district. This is going to be controversial, but I actually like her. Why do I have to whisper? But I actually like her. All right? I like her. Anyone who isn't sold out to China or Big Pharma, whether directly or indirectly through other corporations, or organizations, etc., is a threat to their agenda. And hey, that's a win for me. All right? I am sold. They are scared. They were scared of her then, and they're scared of her now. That's the real reason why she was banned. They don't want people like her to provoke thought. Comply. Obey, you peasant. That's what why the doctors on Joe Rogan were banned on social media too, despite their more polished track record. It's not like they said anything controversial in the past, like the congresswoman. No, they have a more polished track record. Which, by the way, for those interviews, go check it out on Spotify. And let's give Spotify credit. Let's give credit where it's due for allowing free speech to triumph, all right? I've heard many rumors that the staff members on Spotify now, at least many of them, have been red-pilled, which if you don't know what the term red-pilled is, look it up, but more or less, it's someone who maybe followed along with the narrative of the elite establishment in any form or capacity, and they've more or less opened up their eyes to how corrupt the government and these institutions are, and they kind of more or less fall in line with the premise that government is the problem, not the solution, right? But anyways, not to get too off track on that, but just thank you, all right? It's rumors, so don't hold me to that, but thank you, Spotify. All right. Thank you, Spotify, for allowing Joe Rogan bring people who go against the elite's narratives. And thank you as well for letting me have a platform. Thank you, Apple Podcasts, for not deplatforming me yet. Granted, again, in a solar system, right? Let's imagine the podcast world is a solar system. Joe Rogan is the sun, and I am like a moon on the dwarf planet Pluto. That's how small I am in comparison in the world of podcasts, but thank you, all right? Thank you to all the platforms that actually give me, especially Anchor, all right? More on that later, but thank you for allowing Joe Rogan in particular, who has the platform and the followership he has, to bring in those people and just let them talk and not be afraid to let them stay on your platform because it goes against the narrative. You guys have not sold out to China. I'm proud of you. That all said, though, is this the beginning? Is this the potential downfall of Twitter we're about to witness? Will more people go there? Forget conservatives. Conservatives, they're going to go there anyway. we've been pointing this issue out for years now. It just so happens that more sane-minded people are starting to realize, because the left have become so radicalized that they're not even American values anymore. They don't represent what America is, which is freedom. They represent Marxism, which I made a post on Instagram saying that these Marxists are just using the Democrat and liberal label as a guise to who they really are, but that's another conversation. How about attracting the independents, though, and the center left or classical liberals like Joe Rogan? Now, I once predicted Parler was going to give Twitter a run for their money, but it may look like it may be Getter. You just got one of the biggest names, dude, to join that platform. Now, I have a Twitter account, technically, but I never use it. I tried it, and I kind of lost my passport and everything like that. And I don't know. I tried to do it originally for the show and my newsletters and everything like that. And even before I started all this, I never really got into Twitter. I never got the point of it, and I still don't get the point of it. So it kind of baffles me that people make a big deal on Twitter. I remember when it first came out, it was fun to read those tweets. I was watching like the NFL Network, and Twitter first came out, and they would have this session where they would literally make a... They made a session at the end of the show, and they would just point out or read comments or tweets, excuse me, from Twitter. And it would make me laugh, all right? Some of the stuff that they read off made me laugh. It was a fun platform when it first came out, just like Facebook before it got corrupt, all right? Humble beginnings. I remember it's humble beginnings before they forgot where they came from, all right? But with that said, the fact that Joe Rogan joined Getter, this is not only a major boost for that platform, but an indictment on Twitter, if it wasn't already. It's about time Twitter faced some competition. I've stated this before. But I think this could really happen. Now, I don't know if I'll get it myself. I have a Parler account, though. You can follow me on there if you want, at Kenjin Express with a capital K and capital E. But I don't really post much on there as well. Because here's the thing with all my social media. Let's put it out there real quick. Including my Instagram page, right? I only use social media nowadays to put my content out there. That's it. So if you go to Parler, you see I post my podcasts and newsletters on there. It hasn't gained much traction, and frankly, I don't like Parler. I liked it before January 6th. It hasn't been the same since. I don't know, guys. I may do so. I may get Getter in case it gets to that point like Joe Rogan talked about. Hell, I may even try to use Twitter again just to irritate them. If people want to stand by and act like all is fine with Twitter, that's their ignorance. I cannot force them to open their eyes when I do tell them, because I do. I try to wake up people. Just listen to my last episode on Wednesday. At the end of the day, this is a free country and a free market. That is Twitter's biggest enemy right now. If enough people realized they don't have to use Twitter, then maybe we wouldn't be having this conversation because they're not as relevant. Think about it. We have given Twitter this much power. It didn't get this powerful overnight. It didn't become another mic, if you will, another outlet for the government to use overnight. It didn't get here overnight. it got it attracted enough people to get to this point via celebrities, athletes, political pundits, etc. We gave them this much power. What if we all just did what Congresswoman Green said and stopped using Twitter altogether, just left there? What then? Maybe the conversation about free speech wouldn't be as big of an issue. Who knows? Doesn't mean we shouldn't be on guard when free speech is under attack. But here's the thing. No one's forced to use Twitter, guys. We're not forced to use Twitter. Perhaps we should stop taking Twitter so seriously, to an extent. If people just, more people just quit Twitter, who knows? Let's take advantage of the free market. We have that free will. Damn, I think I just convinced myself to get a Getter account. I'm serious. I think I just convinced myself. I may do so. Don't hold me to it yet. Right now, if there was a spectrum, I would say I'm leaning more towards after talking to myself or talking to you guys out loud, thinking out loud. We'll see. But more on that, but remember, any social media platform is not a reflection of real life. And I'm curious what the chart Green showed that made Twitter get rid of her personal account, at least. I want to see it now. I can't see it if I'm not on the platform. So again, I think I'm just persuading myself at this point. All right. But speaking of getting rid of someone, the Bucks are done with Antonio Brown's antics. And NASCAR gave the disapproval stamp on a now well-known driver. All right, stay tuned. We'll be back after this short break. And now, a word from another sponsor, myself. Do you want to follow my social media and keep up to date when I have my episodes on taboo topic? Or even read the script to my Thinking Out Loud monologue for my Hot Seat Wednesday edition? Well, you can follow me on Instagram by looking up Kenjin_Express. Spell the word engine, put the letter K in front of the word engine, then you get Kenjin, one word, _Express, where I post stories the elite class won't discuss and updates on the show. Then there's Facebook. Just by typing in taboo topic, look for the logo that says honesty equals understanding. If we can't be honest with each other, then we don't have real peace amongst ourselves. Then, of course, if you want to read the script to today's show, just type in kenjin296.substack.com. I repeat, kenjin296.substack.com. There you can read the script for yourself. That Thinking Out Loud monologue that provokes thought. You can tune into my show through any platform. The same criteria as Facebook, i.e. just type in taboo topic. Look for that logo that says honesty equals understanding. And you can listen to this podcast through Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, etc. But please, be sure to leave a review. If it's anything less than a 5-star, definitely let me know how I can better serve you. Because ultimately, you guys are my audience. You're my target people. I'm an independent, regular Joe, free from corporate interests, which we already know. Their interest is with China, than our own fellow Americans. They're too afraid to lose money. They're too afraid to call China out. But on this show, because we're independent, we dare to question the narrative and think out loud. And we also believe in the First Amendment and that free speech triumphs your safe space. So please tune in every week. On Fridays, we do a week in review as well, where I pick 3 to 4 stories, or if I have someone else, we'll have 6 to 8 stories to go over. So at least 2 episodes a week, guaranteed. 1. All right. Regardless, you guys, the regular Joe or Jane, the working class American, y'all give me purpose. And if we can't be honest with each other, again, there's no real peace. It's a fake peace just waiting to boil over. And that's why honesty at least leads to a true understanding. We don't have to agree with each other, but we'll at least understand where we're coming from. And that's what the show is about. And that is a sponsor for my own show. So please, hope you enjoy the rest of the show. And with that said, let's get back right into it.
Fuck you, fuck you, fuck you. You're cool. And fuck you, I'm out.
And I give that clip or meme over what happened last Sunday with Antonio Brown credit to the NFL memes Facebook page. Every time I watch that, I crack up because that's essentially what happened in the middle of the Bucks-Jets game last weekend. Welcome back to Taboo Topic. I am your host, the founder of the show, here to talk sports in this segment. So if you don't want to listen to sports, you can go ahead and skip this portion. I will talk about in the next segment about the New York prioritizing non-white individuals for distribution of vaccines, and also the failure of the Build Back Better plan passage. But if you do stick around for this segment, I do talk a little politics, especially when I get into NASCAR, because if you follow at least any sense of politics, you will at least know that there's some politics surrounding NASCAR with the Let's Go Brandon chant, which we'll get into that and how a certain driver capitalized that. So please stick around if you choose to. If not, I totally understand. Not everyone's into sports like I am, which if you've been following me, you just know that I do enjoy talking sports, or just like I said, my closest friends and family members will tell you that if I went to a football stadium, that is my Disney World. My aunt literally told me, we've had conversations of when I was younger. She took me to all these theme parks and Disney World, but the one thing that she saw me the most happiest, and I just would not shut up about apparently, is when she took me to the Stafford Stadium in Athens, excuse me. Sorry, Bulldog fans, I didn't mean to disrespect you, but you know what I'm talking about. I went to that stadium, apparently that's what gave me the most joy, and my aunt, I was surprised by that, and she kind of thought to herself, well, that was free. I could have just done this the whole time to make him happy. But anyways, that's just to illustrate how much I enjoy sports, despite the fact that it's become Marxist or woke, as some people would call it, that has infiltrated in the leagues from the big three, which is baseball, football, and basketball. I still watch the NFL, at least, and MLB. I don't watch the MLB as much as the NFL. But baseball has a long season. The second half of the season of baseball is when it counts the most and worth more following, more intensely anyway, from my perspective. That's just my 2 cents. It's not about baseball. Let's talk football, NFL in particular. Now, Antonio Brown is considered to be one of the greatest wide receivers in NFL history. He's been in the league for a dozen years now, at least. The majority of those years were spent with a historic franchise, the Pittsburgh Steelers out of Pennsylvania. Now, he's been an issue in the locker room for a time now, as long as I can remember, for like the last several years. Especially in the last year or so with the Steelers, he was having problems with the quarterback, Big Ben or Ben Roethlisberger, which prompted the Steelers to trade Antonio Brown to the Raiders. And there's a little of a, well, first and foremost, that stink didn't last long. It didn't even last a full preseason. He was cut before the preseason was over. There are stories he purposely frosted his feet. I kid you not. All right. That's just the man he is, I guess. But just a toxic, just not a healthy environment for either side. Signed with the Patriots. Oh, actually, backtrack. He tried to get cut apparently by the Steelers, or he wanted the Steelers to trade him to the Patriots, and the Steelers trade him to the Raiders as like a middle finger, supposedly, And thus, he really made it a point to try to get cut by the Raiders. And the Raiders just said, okay, screw it. Here you go. And then he got what he wanted. He got his big wish. He signed with the New England Patriots with Tom Brady and Coach Bill Belichick. He only lasted one game, though, due to distractions off the field, which, context, right? He was under investigation over sexual assault and sexual harassment. Can't remember off the top of my head if that's the case, but definitely one of the two. Regardless, it was not the Patriot way. All right, it was not the Patriot way. All that distraction with the investigation and like the gray area surrounding, as far as the NFL had no, there was no discipline actions, and people were just waiting for the disciplinary actions to take place. All of that. Just too much for the Patriots. The Patriots, they don't like distractions. Bill Belichick's not about that life. So they cut him. And he had other off-the-field issues afterwards. Questions about his mental health with CTE arose from his personal life, which it didn't help that he made those personal manners public at times. Like, I remember there was a post that he went live on Instagram yelling his significant other in front of his children. There was police involved in that post. It was just a mess overall, okay? It was just, like, no one thought he would ever sign with an NFL team then. Everyone thought he was done. But through it all, he stayed connected with Tom Brady. Tom Brady, the 7-time Super Bowl champ, let him stay at his house at one point during the fiasco. And eventually, Tom Brady convinced the head coach of the Tampa Bay Bucks, Bruce Arians, to go ahead and sign Antonio Brown. And he was on a tight leash when he signed with the Bucks, but he kept his act together. They won a Super Bowl. They re-signed. He re-signed with the Bucks. All was good in the neighborhood. Until halfway through this season, when he was caught with a fake vaccine card. Had to sit out several games. It's only been recent he came back into the lineup, about halfway through the Jets and Bucks game. You could see a clip of Brown taking off his pads and throwing his t-shirts into the stands, doing jumping jacks across the end zone before heading back into the locker room and leave the stadium altogether. There's a picture of him leaving, waiting for an Uber right outside Jets Stadium in particular. And he released a rap song too. Bruce Arians stated after that stunt in the press conference after the Bucks came back to beat the Jets, he was no longer a Buck. However, as of present day right now, he is still on the roster for the team, which have some people speculating what's happening behind closed doors. Why is this man still on the roster? And why did he just leave in the middle of the game, storm off the way he did? Now, some have rumored to be money-related. A few more yards of some sort would have rewarded him incentives. But right now, the main headline or the main speculation now is it's injury related to his ankle, which as of Wednesday, an independent doctor confirmed he has a serious ankle injury. Now, according to reports, he did not want to play during that game. Apparently, they may have forced him to play when he didn't want to play. The team clearly wanted to go out there despite his wishes. So, ultimately, he gave the middle finger to the organization as a whole, minus Tom Brady. If you watch that clip, again, I recommend, if you have Facebook, recommend, go follow NFL memes, especially if you like football. It gives you good laughs and everything like that. But in that clip, when he says, you're good, it has like a picture of Tom Brady. And that's the person he's saying, you good, right? Because Tom Brady's the one that's been, has stuck it out with Antonio Brown the whole time. But, so minus Tom Brady, give the middle finger to the whole organization by doing what he did. So a lot going there, a lot going on there. Then we look over to NASCAR. Yes, even though I'm not a fan of NASCAR, this story is of interest to me because the political circumstances surrounding it. So if you're waiting for this part, you weren't interested in the NFL, hey, congratulations. You made it this far. We're about to talk a little politics surrounding this scenario because there's some politics involved and you'll understand why. unless you, if you've lived under a rock, you'll kind of understand a little bit better. But the driver, Brandon, the man himself who started the trend, Let's Go Brandon, which the Let's Go Brandon trend started after a reporter said to the television prompter that the crowd was chanting, "Let's go, Brandon," while he was interviewing the driver, Brandon, because he won the race. Now, the crowd was clearly chanting F Joe Biden, and that was the trend prior to that cover-up, if you will, by the reporter. And since, there's been rap songs made about it saying, "Let's go, Brandon." And even President Biden agreed, "Let's go, Brandon," recently. So, everyone knows that's what Let's Go Brandon is, all right? So anyways, he tried to capitalize on the slogan by having a Let's Go Brandon sticker to his car as one of his sponsors. There's an actual cryptocurrency out there, in case you didn't know. Let's Go Brandon cryptocurrency. The driver took advantage of it and had a big reveal. However, NASCAR gave him a big no on that. Now, Brandon and his team has already said they've already discussed before the big reveal that during those talks with NASCAR, they went through the process and everything like that to make sure, like, they got approval of NASCAR. And apparently, in those conversations, they agreed to letting the sponsor through. And when NASCAR was asked about this, they said they acknowledged the conversations and the fact that he went through with the proper, and they also acknowledged that he went through the proper process. Again, the official approval for sponsorship, but contradicted the part of where Brandon said they gave him the nod. They shook their head and told, "You can't do that, Brandon." So clearly, it's a he said, she said scenario. It doesn't appear the driver's going to appeal this, fight on this, whatever, all right? That's the NASCAR aspect. So let me talk NFL real quick, because that's what I know more of. This is my initial thoughts. Now, I'm not condoning what he did by any means. And part of me, though, just has to laugh at the fact that it actually happened. I mean, really, how many of us at one point were at a job or were working with one group of people who made our lives miserable or make the job harder than it needed to or just rubbed us the wrong way? And how many of us would have loved to say those FU moments with a mic drop walk-off? I cannot tell you how many times I want to do that while I was in the military at Lackland during my 6 years. There is not enough fingers or toes to count the amount of times I had that sentiment over the place I worked. It is an epic walk-off. And the fact that he dropped a rap song shortly afterward is gold. Cherry on top of the icing, right? This is the stuff you would see in a movie. You'd think it's Hollywood, but no, it actually happened. And listen, this is not to take away the seriousness of what he did, because ultimately, he did make a fool of himself. I don't think he cares, though. I don't think he really cares. But listen, you have to find humor in this, all right? Let's find the comedic relief in this. Also, let's talk about the fact that, as far as his credibility is concerned, okay, of his injury, I'm not accusing him of anything, but when has he been proven to be trustworthy? For crying out loud, he was caught with a fake vaccine card. And I don't say that to support vaccine cards or mandates by any means of the imagination. But just to point out that he lied to the NFL, he actually lied to everyone, thus doing things that are out of protocol. Because there's a certain protocol for unvaccinated players versus vaccinated players in the NFL. And granted, I think it's ridiculous, and I think the players' union needs to actually grow a backbone and actually speak up on behalf of those players, but I digress. Instead of letting the NFL give these players ultimatums. But because of that, it forced the NFL to actually get discipline. To actually take some form of discipline against him. Now, some get upset about that fact. And they compare him with Packers quarterback Aaron Rodgers for just getting a fine for his innuendous comments to the press. But here's the thing. The NFL knew the whole time he was unvaccinated. The Packers organization knew as well. Everyone knew. But the media, the press. And there is not a single rule in place for allegedly misleading the press over a health matter. HIPAA protects his right to not disclose that information. Which, by the way, real quickly, I want to clarify what I said in the last episode. Talking about New York's crazy laws that are trying to push down the pipeline. Or the bills, excuse me. Not law yet. I want to clarify that I understand simply asking someone's vaccination status alone doesn't violate HIPAA. In fact, there's not even a law that protects from being discriminated against for exercising your right to keep their medical information private. However, per HIPAA, it is the patient's right not to disclose that information, and that includes vaccines. And I know it does because the university I am attending asks for my shot records. And in that process, I have to sign a consent form for HIPAA purposes. All right, I just want to make that clarification. I understand what HIPAA does and what it doesn't do. HIPAA doesn't protect people from discrimination. Like if I went to a restaurant and asked for my vaccination card and I said, F you, I'm not showing you, you're being intrusive. They can say, well, no vax card. No service for you. HIPAA doesn't protect me for that. All right, I get that. Now, back to football. Aaron Rodgers and Antonio Brown is comparing apples to oranges. And Rodgers had no disciplinary history with the NFL prior to COVID. And the vaccines, frankly. No off-the-field manners like Antonio Brown did. So, throw that comparison out. If you have that comparison in your mind, throw it out. It's garbage. Now, as far back to the credibility of Antonio Brown, all that said, with his history and everything like that, I am a little skeptical of the independent doctor he got to, saying it's a serious ankle injury. Let's keep it 100, all right? Let's keep it 100 on this. I'm about three-fourths of my being says it's a fake diagnosis. Only time will tell if I'm right. I will say after last Sunday, I think that was his last NFL game ever, which I think is a good thing for his own mental health. Right back to that serious note. He is clearly struggling with something. Now, I have, I crowd researched, right? I got read comments on YouTube, Facebook, Instagram, and everything like that. And I pick up on some things. And I've read a lot of comments that point to a particular hit Antonio Brown got several years back while he was a Steeler. And apparently, ever since that hit, he hasn't been the same since. And now, if you know anything about the NFL and players, the NFL has been really keen on player safety for CTE purposes because a lot of players, they were just dysfunctional mentally. They couldn't function and they're just like disappear from the room, if you will. Like CTE, I don't know exactly what CTE does per se, but I know it could definitely alter someone's not only physical behavior, but also emotional behavior as well. Now, I say all that not to use CT as a shield from any sense of accountability from his tomfoolery, all right? Because it was absolute foolishness what he was doing on Sunday during the Jets and Bucks game, all right? But let's put this in perspective. No matter how foolish someone may act for the moment, we should never wish ill upon someone and wish them well. We should wish him that he gets the proper help that he needs, but also that God would surround him with friends and family members that will not only hold him accountable, but also give him love and grace. I think the last thing the media should do is just pile on. I think we're starting to figure that out, that piling on probably isn't the best way to go about it. I think people are starting to pick up that mental health is just as important as physical health. I know a lot of conservative pundits will disagree with that notion, and they'll push back on that thought, but I really think I think the conservative circle needs to make a correction on that thought. And I think that doesn't hurt to show a little grace when someone's clearly visibly showing, for example, what happened with Britney Spears. I think we should look to that as a learning point for us and say, we should never do that to someone again, regardless of how we may perceive that person, right? Put aside our own personal feelings. Let's give the man the space, all right? Give him the space and pray that he actually gets the help that he needs and gets the support that he needs, because that is what is needed. He needs to focus on his own health. Football is not even a concern. It shouldn't be a concern. All right. Now, with all of that said, as far as NASCAR is concerned, come on, man. You literally allowed a driver to put a Black Lives Matter sticker on his car, but a Let's Go Brandon sticker is just a bridge too far. That's the straw that breaks the camel's back. Man. Well, first, let's give props to Brandon, the driver, all right, for keeping it real. He's clearly not oblivious, doesn't live under a rock, and didn't try to ignore what transpired that day when the reporter said the crowd was chanting, "Let's go, Brandon," when in reality they were chanting, "F Joe Biden." Respect, all right? Respect to him for utilizing a trend to his advantage. At least he tried. Now, despite NASCAR's pushback, personally, I wouldn't care. I give NASCAR the middle finger to keep the sticker on there anyway and point out that they allowed Black Lives Matter sticker to be on a driver's car as well. If Black Lives Matter sticker is allowed, then why can't Let's Go Brandon be on there? It's a legitimate sponsor. Why not let him? It's a legitimate cryptocurrency. Now, regardless of what will happen in the future, this will definitely attract new fans. They may not even be a NASCAR fan, though they just turn on their screen, whether it's the iPad, TV, iPhone, or smartphone, whatever, laptop. They'll just turn on the screen that they choose to watch it on, to watch NASCAR on, just to see Brandon drive that 68 car. Which, Brandon, if by one in a billionth chance you hear this episode from my podcast, just know that I thought that sticker looked good on your car. I say, take my advice and just go for it. What's the worst they can do? Fine you? I'm sure for the amount of money that you get paid, their fine would be the equivalent of me paying for a 99-cent Arizona tea can. You won't even miss it. Now, audience members, the ones that actually do listen to my podcast, what do y'all think? Should Brandon take my advice? No, he may or may not take it. In fairness, probably never listened to this episode, and that's all right. I'm used to people not listening to me anyway. But the main people who don't listen to me or listen to anybody, no matter how loud and obvious the pushback is or big the pushback is, It's the bureaucrats, all right? And that's what I'll get into after this break, from New York to the Build Back Better plan, all right? So stay tuned. We'll be back after this short break. Ah, make America racist again. Am I right, New York? Am I right? This is Ken Drew on Taboo Topic for your Weekend Review Edition. New York is catching my eye again. Earlier this week, I talked about New York's bills that were being discussed in their state legislature Wednesday, January 5th. One of them included the governor having the authority to imprison anyone he or she deemed a public health threat without warrant or trial on an indefinite basis. So if you want to hear more on that, check out the episode that came out this past Wednesday titled Hot Seat, Unvaccinated, the New Scapegoat. I also wrote an article about it with that same exact title, minus the hot seat part. That said, the focus is New York's desire to prioritize non-white people for distribution of vaccines. I kid you not. I want to make the disclaimer real quick that anything related to COVID or the vaccines, I do not claim to be an expert, and you should definitely consult with your doctor for any medical advice, not some guy on the internet. So when I give my initial thoughts to the story, this is just my opinion for entertainment purposes. That said, let's get into it. The state of New York, like I said it will prioritize non-white people in the distribution of COVID treatments in short supply. The New York Health Department of Health released a document detailing its plan to distribute the treatments and vaccines, such as the monoclonal antibody treatment and the antiviral pills. The plan includes a section of eligibility for the scarce antiviral pills that people must meet to receive the treatment, including a line stating a person needs to have a medical condition or other factors that increase their risk for severe illness. One such risk factor is being race or ethnicity that is not white due to long-standing systemic health and social inequities. Non-white race or Latino Hispanic ethnicity should be considered a risk factor, as long-standing systemic health and social inequities have contributed to an increased risk of severe illness and death from COVID-19. Erin Selk, a spokesperson for the New York Department of Health, told Fox News a statement that the state's prioritization guidance comes directly from the CDC, and that neither race nor ethnicity will disqualify an individual from receiving treatment. All right, so I want to make it clear. So I'm just reading this off from Yahoo News, and I want to make a quick correction. It says nothing about vaccines, but I'm just going to go ahead and continue on. New York's plan to distribute medical treatment comes as the state sees a record number of COVID-19 cases. You can find this information from the New York Department of Health memo on their website. That is also where they got their story from. Now, as you might imagine, this wasn't taken well. I'll get into my thoughts about that in just a second. However, staying with the trend of Democratic agendas, this holiday season, Joe Biden got a huge blow to passing his $1 trillion Build Back Better plan. A plan many on the right call it a socialist wish list, criticizing the amount of spending the administration has done since he took office. Now, the failure was due to one man who broke the ranks from his own party in the Senate that caused the bill to fail. And remember, in the Senate, it is a 50-50 split, which if everyone in that room voted along party lines, Vice President Kamala Harris would have been the tiebreaker. Now, drum roll, please. The man that broke ranks is Joe, not Joe Biden, but his name, Joe Manchin. Yes, the man was one of those who broke ranks and sided with Republicans in rejecting this bill. Many call him a traitor, but despite the lashback He has stood firm. He's standing by his own beliefs. There hasn't been any negotiations since, according to Joe Manchin himself, but some stories contradict what he says. And the Democrats and the Biden administration is desperately trying to find something to convince Manchin to change his mind to vote yes on the Build Back Better plan. Now, initial reactions, starting with New York. Listen. It is irresponsible and ignorant to think that poverty only affects non-white people, as they say. There is more white people in poverty than any other race combined. Now, I understand per capita, it doesn't compare. I get that. White people make up the majority. If you take one individual race against white people, I get it, all right? But does that excuse these bureaucrats to make that an actual point, policy, I should say? Imagine how many would lose their mind if a red state said they were going to prioritize non-black residents for distribution of medical treatment, right? Systemic racism doesn't apply, apparently, when it's against white people. Now, I will give them props. This is not about the vaccine like I originally read into it. After rereading it, it's not about vaccines, right? Which I'm glad, because I'm almost tempted to discourage people to get the vaccine. Everyone who has gotten the COVID, who has gotten COVID in my circle recently, all of them vaccinated, some with boosters. According to what we've been told the last year, supposedly this miracle cure to end COVID altogether has not worked. Despite them trying to convince people otherwise, and people not getting the shot, the rise in cases is not the responsibility of those who did not get their shots, right? So props to them for not trying to make this a vaccine issue, right? But why aren't they actually trying to distribute other treatments such as ivermectin, for example, or hydrochloride side? I can't freaking talk. Forgive me. You know what I'm trying to say right now, okay? Why aren't they talking about that? Why aren't they trying to distribute that? It's a lot cheaper, that's why. There's no money to be made from those treatments. Ivermectin, for example, from the healthcare professional that I've talked to, the most I've heard was it only costs $10 versus some of these other treatments that cost hundreds and thousands of dollars. It's ridiculous. And I know what the fat chair is going to say. Well, ivermectin has not been a FDA-approved treatment for COVID-19. But there's been peer-reviewed studies done already showing the effectiveness of treating COVID-19 with ivermectin. And no, it's not just a horse dewormer. It's not just used in animals. It's been used by billions of humans since the 1970s. The man who actually came up with the medicine won a Nobel Peace Prize, as a matter of fact. So anyone tries to tell you otherwise, it's a straight-up lying. Terry Bradshaw, I'm calling you out on that one. I still remember when you criticized Aaron Rodgers and straight-up said it's only used for animals. I still remember that. All right, but that all said, why not talk about that? Why not focus on that? And I know the spokesperson said on Fox that we're not discriminating and everything like that against white people. No race is being prioritized or anything like that. But if it wasn't, the how come it's in the memo? For crying out loud, it's in your own memo. You cannot hide that. I don't know if I actually read, but the memo comes as a result of like this uptick in COVID cases. So, yeah, I don't know. It's a... overall, irresponsible. Another example of how there's this elite group that is trying to divide people right now. And it's absolutely disgusting. Absolutely disgusting. It makes me lose hope at times. Like, I have no hope when I see stuff like this. And I'm just ready to start my own little commune, go into a little island, just by myself, no one around me. I mean, I guess I would avoid this new variant with something with 40-something mutations. Now, I could tell you that science says the virus loses its strength as more variants get created, so this new virus is probably not even that... it's not even worth freaking out about. But, like I said in my disclaimer, I'm not an expert. Don't hold me to that. I digress. But then I see sane individuals like Manchin actually step up to the plate. Which I know the media polls suggest the majority of America is somehow in favor of this bill. But like Antonio Brown, what have they done to say they're trustworthy at this point? It's like you caught your ex cheat on you multiple times. She says she's sorry and everything like that. I made a mistake. Do they keep doing it? Are they really sorry? Are they really worth trusting? And if so, why do you keep going back to them? Why? I don't know, but to my point, they're not trustworthy, right? What have they done recently? Most everyone I know is not supportive of this bill. Then again, to put in context, majority of the people in my circle do vote Republican most of the time. Now, this bill, all it would do is print more money, thus losing more value to our dollar. Mind you, the amount we've printed already has caused inflation rates unseen since my parents' generation. It's going to take generations, plural, to pay this off. And I'm no economic expert here, but I want to just provoke thought. Why can't we discuss policies to create deflation? Is that really such a scary word? I understand the Great Depression's deflation rate was bad, and that's why deflation has become like this scary word to talk about, especially when it comes to policy making. But if the deflation rate was controlled in the same manner that we do it with inflation, then does it have to be a bad thing? There's inflation and there's hyperinflation, right? Hyperinflation is bad. Inflation isn't. Inflation can be a sign of a healthy economy. Hyperinflation means the cost of living is going faster than people's disposable income can keep up with. So with that thought in mind, I say hyperdeflation because that's what happened during the Great Depression. The deflation rates were so fast that the economy couldn't keep up with, right? So hyperdeflation is bad, but deflation by itself at a healthy, steady rate isn't bad either. I mean, think about it. What American do you know of would be opposed to seeing our dollar's value have some worth again? Instead of being treated like money grew on trees. You know, I feel like that's the downfall of the fiat currency. Fiat currency just gives the government the power to manipulate its value, essentially, print more money whenever they want to. I think it was a mistake to give the government that much power. I'm almost certain if our dollar was based on something the government couldn't manipulate, the Build Back Better plan wouldn't even be a discussion. Congress would be forced to budget instead of recklessly spend our tax dollars for a Marxist fairy tale that is the Build Back Better proposal. All that said, let's just give credit where it's due. Manchin has conservative tendencies, very clearly. He was not even part of the anti-Trump train during 45's 4 years. For crying out loud, Manchin, become a Republican. This is a big tent we have going here. The new Democrat platform, the new Democrats, I should say, or these Marxists that are using the Democrat label to guys as a guise for who they really are. Leave them behind, right? You didn't leave the party left you. Come on to the side of sanity, the side of freedom. Hell, I trust him and like him more than Mitch McConnell. I really hope this bill doesn't become law. Stay strong, Manchin. Stay strong until the midterm elections later this year. If we could survive it then, we give our country a fighting chance. Because if this bill gets passed, well, who knows? Maybe we start what? Bring wheelbarrows full of cash just to buy 1 gallon of milk? Are we headed in that direction? I don't know. I really hope not. We'll see. The only thing that's really protecting our value right now is the amount of trust the globe has on the American value, American dollar, excuse me. But even then, that's starting to erode as well. It's only a matter of time before people just lose trust in the value of our dollar. If we keep this spending up, hang in there, Manchin. 2022 November can't come soon enough. Now, stay tuned, everyone. We'll be about to close things out. All right? We'll be back. And welcome back to Taboo Topic. This is your host, Ken Drew, with your Week in Review edition. We are now officially done with this episode. That's all the stories I wanted to cover today. Hopefully you found the information useful and the perspective provoking, at the very least. That's what I try to do on my show, as usual. Honesty provokes an actual understanding, and free speech just triumphs for safe space, all right? I don't even care about people's safe spaces anymore. But thank you again so much for tuning in today's episode. I hope y'all have a great and blessed Friday and a blessed weekend. And until next time on a Wednesday Hot Seat Edition, I'll see you then. God bless.